So if you're anything like me, you do a lot of your online shopping, well, a lot of your shopping at all, on Amazon. So if this is a case for you, and you're looking to buy something anyway, if you go to our website at tensandaces.com, near the top of the page, you will see an Amazon banner ad. If you click there, prior to making a purchase on Amazon, it will open up your Amazon app just like normal, or if you're in a browser, go to the Amazon webpage just like it would normally if you were to type in amazon.com. The only thing that's different is that because you click through our referral link, the Tens and Aces podcast will get a small little commission on whatever you buy. It doesn't cost you anything. It's just a good way to support the show and show your love for TNA and, you know, help cover some of the cost that it costs to make this thing. So remember, if you're going to buy something on Amazon anyway, go to tensandaces.com, click the Amazon banner, and then you're good to go. And you're helping out something you like this podcast. And it's a win-win, win-win, win-win-win. Oh, and while I got you here, thank you all for listening. We really appreciate it. Now, enjoy the show.
Loses in Las Vegas who keeps thinking he's gonna come up with a way to win at blackjack.
Are you ready for some TNA?
Welcome to TNA, the Tens and Aces podcast, a podcast with true-to-life stories and experiences from advantaged players in the game of blackjack. From pros crushing it and making a living counting cards, to newer players who are just making their way through all the ups and downs of what can be, at times, both an equally frustrating and beautiful game of AP Blackjack. Is this the kind of thing you want to hear? Well, listen up, because we're about to give you some TNA. Here's your host, Mike AP.
And welcome to the show today. As the man just said, I'm your host of this transmission of our experiment in imaginary radio that we like to call TNA, the Tens and Aces podcast. So if this is the kind of thing you want to hear, well, listen up, because we're about to give you some TNA.
So with me today is Baron. How's it going, man?
It's going good. Thank you for having me on.
Absolutely. I enjoy reading your posts on the forums.
Thank you.
I've kind of followed your career vicariously, ups and downs, and you're a pretty active poster at times. So I feel like I kind of know you. It's nice to actually get to talk to you a little bit.
Yeah, and I'm a big fan of the show, so it's nice to actually get to talk to you.
I humbly, don't know what the right word is. Thank you. Thank you. That's the word. That's what my mom would tell me to say. Thank you.
You're welcome.
You bet. Let's start with a little origin story background, and yours is a little bit different than the typical person I have on here, and that's kind of why I want to have you on.
Let's see. I was born many, many years ago. And then I spent about 50 of those years never setting foot in a casino. And for a big chunk of that, I was in a marriage that was less than ideal and a job that I just hated. When I was young and in my 20s, I was and still am a very good actor. Went to college for theater and sort of had mapped out I'm going to go into theater and then film and then be famous. And that didn't work out so well. So I got trapped in this corporate job when I was in my 20s. And then kids came along and
mortgages.
Bills and
yeah.
Mortgages. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, and then all of a sudden I'm in my late 40s and I'm like, oh, what the hell was this? So anyway, sort of an extended midlife crisis. The marriage ended and I started dating a new woman who I'm still with and plan to be with for the rest of the years.
Congratulations.
And thank you. She's a big part of this story. So we're both travel junkies. And when we first, you know, we found this out, we first started dating. We're like, oh, okay, well, where should we go? And she says, I've never been to New Orleans. And I say, I've never been to Las Vegas. So I'm a huge Beatles fan. So that Christmas in my stocking were two tickets to the Cirque du Soleil show at the Mirage.
Mm-hmm.
So we take off and we do a trip to Vegas. And I win about $70 at roulette. And I win $20 betting on my favorite baseball team. And this gambling stuff is easy. And when I get back to my corporate IT job, I wrote a program. I was like, you know, roulette, there's got to be a way to distribute your bets that minimizes your risk and optimizes your chance of hitting. So I wrote this little computer simulator and I found out that there was a bet progression that can beat roulette. And so for about a week, I work on this program and I'm running, you know, a million spins at a time and this thing works and I can beat roulette with a bet progression. This is great. And I start, you know, dreaming of finally quitting this job. And then I found the bug in the program because it turns out in all those 20 years of being a programmer, I was never any good at it. And it turns out roulette has about a 5% house edge no matter where you put the chips. Go figure.
Right.
So I was all despondent about this, and I mentioned it to a coworker who said, huh, you ought to try counting cards. I hear all you have to do is add one for the little cards and subtract one for the big cards. I was like, huh, that sounds easy. So I Google and I come up with Blackjack Apprenticeship, and I sign up for a membership about 15 minutes later. And about a month later, long before I was ready, I was at a boot camp. My test out didn't go too well. And a lot of the content went over my head just because I was too new and too green. And then I spent about a year red shipping, never really with a substantial bankroll. So fast forward to September of 2019, part of the marriage breaking up is that I agreed to stay married on paper, put my ex through grad school, and keep her on my health insurance.
Wow, so, that sounds a good deal for her.
Well, you know, she stayed home all the years and raised the kids, which puts her at a real disadvantage. And for all the problems that marriage had, it was relatively amicable. I'm sure the audience is enjoying being my therapist here as I unwind my long marital history. Feel free to edit any of this. Anyway,
I did have one question. You said that was, you were up to 2019. What year was the boot camp that you fast?
2018.
Okay.
So yeah, it was late 2018, October, November, somewhere in there. So 2019, I decide, screw it, I'm quitting this job. And I've got an $8,000 bankroll. Maybe I'll try AP, which was a ridiculous thing to do. But for reasons, psychological, mental, emotional, spiritual, I needed to be out of that job. Well, the thing about this is my ex freaked out and said, okay, this whole, this whole married on paper thing, I want the actual divorce because I want a judge to say you owe me money. So it progressed a long, slow band-aid of a divorce, which was a good thing in the long run. Mm-hmm. You know, playing full time on an $8,000 bankroll worked until it didn't, which was about 7 weeks. And I feel proud of myself that I made it last 7 weeks.
But it probably helped if you have to pay alimony on paper.
it was an ill-advised move. There's a post in the forum archives that I may go back and delete because I like, okay, well, I'm quitting my job and I've got a high four-figure bankroll. Wish me good variance. You know, then there are 600 comments of like, what the f- is a matter with you?
Right.
Don't do it. You're an idiot. You're going to be sleeping in your car eating dog food. You're not ready. You're not even close to ready. But anyway, so I hauled off and did it. Lasted about 7 weeks. It's like, okay, I'm going to have to get another loathsome IT job. Mm-hmm. And that actually worked out okay because I got a loathsome IT job that started right at the end of February 2020. And then 2 weeks later, the whole world shut down.
Yeah.
So it was like, okay, this whole like regular deposits into my bank account thing is pretty handy right now. I worked through 2020. I've got pretty bad asthma. So I, you know, talking it over with my girlfriend, it's like, I'm not going to go back in a casino till I'm vaccinated.
Right.
So I can stay here in the spare bedroom and count the days until the vaccines are approved, do this stupid job and get regular paychecks. And the nice thing too is as the divorce was progressing, my ex and I co-owned an investment property that we sold, and we split those proceeds 50-50. So there was, you know, suddenly a really nice chunk of change that I could use to for AP stuff.
The new partner is on board with this?
The new partner is really on board with this. You know, she had gone to Vegas with me the first time, had kind of been through it, been through the whole journey with me of learning basic strategy, learning deviations. It's funny. She's much better at this than I am. Like her brain is mathematical. And like I said, I was an actor, so I'm all artsy and flighty. So I made deviation flashcards, and it took me forever just to get the basic BJA set of deviations. Mm-hmm. And my girlfriend had them down just from quizzing me. And she's like, come on, 9 versus 7, double it at truth 3. What's wrong with you? And I'm like, 9 versus 3, doubles at 7. I don't know. Our nicknames for each other are Order Muppet and Chaos Muppet. Aww. She would be very good at it. She would never want to do it. You know, the thought of, you know, telling her that I'm putting out 2 by 200 kind of gives her little palpitations. And she's like, I understand the math. I understand you have the advantage. I want the best for you. I would never, ever, ever do that. And I'm like, cool, I guess. get it. But she's been 100% supportive, which has made a huge, huge difference and made the whole journey a lot easier.
Yeah, don't lose that unicorn, man.
No.
Probably not just AP-wise. I mean, just sounds like she's supportive in whatever you're doing.
Yeah, no, I know how good I got it. So, yeah, she's wonderful. And keep that part in, because when she listens to the podcast, she'll hear how much I raved about her.
I'll amplify, put an echo on it.
Okay, sweet.
Make some like
beautiful. She's wonderful. I'm in love. All right, so beginning of 2020, the vaccines come out, and I'm ready to go. And then I had a couple things happen. First, my dad died, which was, thank you. He had had Alzheimer's for about 10 years. So it was, you know, it was like a long, long, slow goodbye. But still, you're never quite ready. And he and my mom live about 1,000 miles away. My mom had an undiagnosed stroke in 2019, and now she has dementia. So, which meant that my sister and I had to do kind of all of the financial stuff from a distance, all the legal stuff. So there was a lot of, you know, just as I was getting ready to hit the road and start playing, I had about 2 months of back and forth travel and dealing with some of mom's stuff. So it was, you know, difficult winter.
Yeah. But you weren't going to be playing anywhere at this point because of you're waiting for the vaccine, right?
I was waiting for the vaccine. So I got vaccinated in April. Incurred a lot of travel expenses and missed time at work because, you know, travel and things.
Got to take care of mom. Yeah.
Got to take care of mom. It turns out with my pandemic 15, I didn't own a suit that fit. So I had to go buy a suit.
You're going to like the way you look. I guarantee it.
All the unexpected expenses.
Yeah. Life.
So anyway, then we get to April. I'm vaccinated. I'm ready to hit the road. And my car falls apart.
Oh, shit, man.
Yeah. And it happened actually while I was parked in a parking space with the car turned off.
So say, you got some explaining to do.
What?
Yeah. It was the weirdest thing. I was out running errands and I got a text from my adult son and I pulled over into a parking space to read and respond to the text. Car's turned off. I'm sitting there, I'm texting, and all of a sudden, out of the blue, the car makes this cartoon sproing noise. And it was a strut falling off.
Wow, man.
Yeah. It's like, I'm parked. How does that happen? The car's turned off. How does that happen?
Did you piss off a witch doctor or something?
I must have, or my ex might still have some clippings of my hair and has a voodoo doll or something.
Yeah, I'd go with that one. That
might, maybe likely. But yeah, the car died and it was an older car anyway. And my current paramour was worried about me doing a lot of miles and going off into remote areas. So we both agreed that a much better car was a good investment.
Yeah.
So what I thought I had was 50K for bankroll and then enough living expenses to get from March to December, you know, to give the AP time to work.
The math time to catch up.
Yeah. So then, you know, it was five figures for a decent used car.
Gotcha.
So that took, you know, a lot of the living expenses cushion away. And then I hit the road. It went well until it didn't. In about 120 hours of play, had $7,500 worth of EV. So worked out to a little more than 50 an hour. And a lot of that was the first few weeks I was playing, you know, I was playing some red chip games at like 2x75, 2x125, just to, you know, flex, because I hadn't played a hand of live blackjack in over a year. Mm-hmm. Just flex the muscles and ease back into it.
Earlier when you said you tried and then it failed. You said your game wasn't ready. You went in too soon and like you weren't ready for the boot camp and a lot of it was over your head. Since that point, did you brush up on all those things that they told you need to work on at boot camp? How did your game progress between then and when you went back out?
Well, there's two goings out. So between October of 18, when I went to that first boot camp, and September of 19, you know, I drilled, I got much better. I was red chipping that whole time. And so I really had solidified my game from that boot camp. During the pandemic, you know, I had a deck on my desk for counting down and I had a 6-deck shoe that I had marked 1 to 312. I did very little productive work and a lot of working on my true count divisions. So my game was better. I went to the Midwest meetup. A guy named Fateful organized this great meetup for APs in the Midwest and Sassy Red was there. And I had gotten up at 5 in the morning to drive to this thing. And at about 9 p.m., I'm getting ready to leave and do the several-hour drive home. And Sassy says, hey, I want to test you out. And I was exhausted, and the light was dim, and I was surrounded by people I respect. I made a mistake, and I started getting in my own head, and then one mistake compounded with another. And I could see all these APs I respect kind of standing around the table, shaking their heads, tisk, tisk, tisk. No, this is a disaster.
I'm sure that's not really what was going on, but that's what was going on in your head, you're saying, right?
I'm my own worst critic. So Sassy, of course, being the kind and wonderful person she is, was firm but reassuring that I needed to fix the holes in my game. Went back, redoubled the training regimen, actually went back for a second boot camp this past June, and Loudon often tested me out. And I did much better, although I did make a counting mistake. Mm-hmm. But I figured out where in my game I had a hole. When you split a pair, I was counting the cards twice.
Because that's what was normal to you. Yeah.
Well, it was something that I wasn't doing it in the drills, but I had caught myself doing it at a table once. Like I counted, and then I'm like, wait a minute, that seems wrong. So I went back and I recounted the table, and I'm like, oh, shit, how did I get off by two? Oh, that pair of threes, I counted those twice. So I knew that was a hole in my game. It resurfaced during the test out. But other than that, that test out with Loudon went much, much better than the one with Sassy. So I felt good about my game.
Good way to correct that. Just only split sevens, eights, and nines. Sorry.
That's brilliant. I'll do that.
But then that creates a whole other problem. But anyway. Anyway, so Sassy was a big help.
Sassy was a big help. And Loudon was a big help. And just going to the boot camp the second time, it made so much more sense. It was like that bit in Bill and Ted where they meet themselves at the beginning of the movie and the conversation doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
And then
the second
time around, oh, that conversation made so much more sense this time.
Bill.
What?
Strange things are afoot at the Circle K.
Like, okay, the lectures and things made so much more sense the second time around.
Yeah, you by that time you knew that Socrates guy was actually Socrates, right?
Exactly. Dust in the wind.
Not to be confused with my former guest, Socrates, but anyway, go ahead.
They're not the same guy? Wait, what?
No. All right. I keep distracting you. Go ahead.
No, that's okay. That's okay. This is the answer to your first question turned into a long autobiographical ramble. Okay. So anyway, cut to the present. So I'm out there playing. I don't have a day job. My current partner is very supportive of me getting out on the road. And, you know, when I talk to her at the end of the day, she's always, how did you play? Did you get good EV? Like, she asks all the right questions.
Sexy talk.
What?
That's sexy talk right there. Did you get good EV?
I know, right? Oh, she could say EV to me all day. Ooh.
Yeah.
Now say deviation. Oh, yeah. So, she's supportive and she understands the time away. So I'm out in the road and I'm getting about 60 hours a month. And I'm playing between hours 50 and 60. I went on a can't lose hot streak. So I was playing way, way, way above EV. I was also being very conservative about estimating EV. Like, how many rounds per hour did I really get? You know, what, being very conservative on telling myself what the pen was. You know, if I counting my time set at the table, not padding it. You know, if I got there at 5 after, I wasn't saying, oh, I started at 9 o'clock. So I was doing everything to make sure that my EV estimates were appropriately conservative. So I wasn't setting myself up for why am I way under EV?
Right. I think, especially during COVID and post COVID, as conditions change, a lot of people are overestimating EV right now, you know, cause you're not going to get the rounds per hour, especially earlier. Well, you didn't play earlier.
Oh, yeah. Actually, it's funny. When I first started playing in like 2018, 2019, my local shop just has disgusting chips. Like, I don't think they've ever been washed. Mm-hmm. So I went out and bought a ton of hand sanitizer, and I had some for the car and some for the house. And my girlfriend made fun of me a little bit. And then when the pandemic started, she's like, you were a genius. You were right. Now we've got
your time.
Yeah, we've got all this hand sanitizer.
Yeah, I remember seeing during the peak of the pandemic, probably about April or May last year or something like that. Legit ad on Facebook Marketplace. Uh-huh. Somebody had this, like, I don't know, 15-year-old Corolla, and, you know, probably worth like $3,000 maybe $2,500, something like that. And they said, no lowballers, 4 rolls of toilet paper, no exceptions. It was a legit ad too. It wasn't like a meme joke. It was a legit ad. I said, what?
Wow.
Let's see, they're trying to be funny. I mean, they weren't going to sell the car for that, but they're trying to be funny. But it was a legit actual ad on the marketplace. It's like, that's hilarious.
I did once trade a car for a 6-pack of beer.
Must have been really good beer, a really shitty car.
Both. It was also a car that I had had for almost 20 years and needed a lot of work. And it was for a friend's kid was turning 16 and needed a beater.
Right.
And I was like, I'm paying more in taxes on this thing than it's worth. And I'll, you know, here, take it.
Now, let's take a commercial break.
Hey guys, this is Colin from BlackjackApprenticeship.com, and if you're serious about card counting, I'd encourage you to check out the Blackjack Apprenticeship membership. It has the training tools you'll need to beat the game, like our comprehensive video course and our training suite, so you can learn each skill and virtually test yourself before ever stepping foot in a casino. It also includes the tools you'll need to succeed, like our pro betting software, casino database, results tracking software, and access to a community of like-minded advantage players to network with in our members forum and chat room software. You can find out more at blackjackapprenticeship.com.
So more than a handful of people have asked me if they can buy some merch for the show. So my girlfriend had an idea that we could each month, people who wanted to support the show by buying things like t-shirts, coffee mugs, hats, whatever, that we should make those products available with a different item every month. I think that's a pretty good idea. So we kind of soft launched our first such item late in July, which is a Tens and Aces t-shirt, and will be available starting right now and through the month of August. So if you'd like some T&A of your very own, well, we can't say that. But we can sell you a t-shirt. So if you'd like one, you can go to our website, which is tensandaces.com, or you could join the show's Facebook page, which is simply Tens and Aces Blackjack. And there is a post pinned to the top of that page with a link to buy a t-shirt. And I also want to say thank you to everybody who has supported the show in all the ways you have. It is greatly appreciated. And just thanks to everybody for listening, really. And now back to the show.
Trade a car for a case of beer and make the 16-year-old find out a way to buy it.
So, here's your first life lesson, kid.
Yeah. Anyway, we're sidetracked again.
Totally. What were we talking about before we got onto beer and cars?
Not that there's anything wrong with beer and cars, listeners. Just hopefully not while you're playing blackjack. You're not operating a beer bottle or a car.
Or a vehicle, yes.
Oh, yeah. But
new COVID special, drive-through blackjack.
I think Elon Musk is probably on that. You were up to the point where you were talking about how your positive streak where you couldn't lose.
Oh, my positive streak where I couldn't lose. In about 120 hours of play, 131.5, I got about $7,500 worth of EV, and I couldn't lose for a while. And at hour 100, I was about $100 away from the elusive five-figure mark. Mm-hmm. I was at like 9,800. And I remember the session because it was at my local, and I try to keep that preserved. Mm-hmm. And so I had won, you know, I had won about $1,000 that session, and my stack was starting to look conspicuous. And I'm like, and I knew I was about $100 away from the 10,000 mark. And I was like, I could stick around for a couple more shoes and see if I break it. But no, I want to keep this shop. This was a really good session. I think it's time to rat hole a couple chips and then head out of here.
Mm-hmm.
So about $100-$150 away from the elusive 10,000 mark, I hit my all-time high. I go home, and then I didn't win again for about 20 hours of play. And I mean, I lost. I went a good 10 of those hours, like never winning both hands of a max bet.
Wow.
The insurance went against me. And then, you know, I would get dealt like a 14 and bust that. And, it was just, you know, and we've all been there. Those nightmare games where the count gets high and you just can't win. And it just kept happening. And at first, my mathy, wonderful girlfriend is like, okay, well, regression to the mean. You knew this would happen. Did you get good EV? Did you play well? She's so wonderful. And so I plummeted from well above EV to EV to well below EV. And I had a couple of, you know, small three-figure wins to offset just the never-ending stream of four-figure losses. And I basically, at hour 1:30, am about back where I started in April, May.
So you're back to your...
I'm back to my original bankroll minus all the trip expenses I incurred while I was out generating lots of EV and zero AV.
Negative AV, yeah.
Yeah, I'm now in the negative. And so I kind of had to... I took another look at my finances, and what I thought was going to get me to December, there's enough there to get me to October. And this is July, and October's not very far away.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of had to sit down and say, okay, I've got a couple of options here. And one of those options is barrel through and get more hours and have faith that, you know, regression to the mean works both ways.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one, which I wound up doing, was to say, hey, I now have about 3 months to make this work before I start getting in trouble with my living expenses. And do I, from, you know, a point of essentially zero AV, have enough time to get to where I need to be, to where this is generating a living income? You know, as much as I want to put on my rose-colored glasses and say, well, you know, Yoshi and Joe748 and Colin, those guys all made hundreds of thousands of dollars their first year. That's magical thinking, and I don't have any other houses to sell. I'm out of houses. So I had to take a look and say, okay, really, what's realistic here? And I think the realistic thing to do was, you know, I still had close to 50K in what was the bankroll, and I'm setting aside about 12K actually for continued blackjack play, putting the rest for living expenses. And I'm kind of beating the boards, looking for a part-time job that's anything but corporate IT.
So like,
and this is no, I'm not there yet. I did, you know, I've got this nice newish car. I picked up an Uber decal, and I live close to an airport. So that's actually, I think that'll be a nice way to earn income on my schedule.
Yeah, definitely.
There are a bunch of warehouses near me that are desperate for forklift operators. Like, oh, okay, I could go out and get a forklift certification and do that for a little bit.
Nice brainless work.
Yeah. And, you know, that appeals to the 4-year-old boy in me. Like, oh, boy, I get to drive a forklift. And really, again, this is how wonderful my girlfriend is despite the fact that corporate IT is, you know, by far the most lucrative thing I could do. She basically grabbed me by the lapels and said, you were miserable and I don't ever want to see you that miserable again. And you are not to apply for any kind of corporate IT job.
Could you do some IP consulting work? So it's more in your terms, you're not stuck in some soul crushing position.
Actually, that's in line behind burger flipping, honestly.
You just don't want to do that.
I just don't want to do that. I did that for almost 25 years.
Gotcha.
And it was, you know, when I first took the job, I was expecting a kid, didn't have health insurance. And it was during the Y2K crisis where, hey, you got a pulse? You speak English? Come here. Now you're a COBOL programmer.
Right.
So it wasn't, it was totally a job of convenience that turned into a 25-year sentence. And it's just, yeah, like I said, I couldn't even write a simple roulette simulator. Like, I'm not good at it. I'm good enough at schmoozing and corporate politics to survive. But then, of course, there's the self-loathing of I'm sitting here in this cubicle doing nothing, accomplishing nothing. I'm a fraud. Why am I here? It was bad, bad, bad for my psyche.
So it sounds like you got to keep your acting skills brushed up.
I got to keep my acting skills. Yep. I suppose that's a lucrative thing. I did get paid for acting all those years.
Yeah. Put that on a resume.
Yeah. And actually, I'm close enough to a major city where they do a lot of filming that there's background work. There's commercial work. I plan to, you know, now I've got the a little snow on the mountaintop, so I look distinguished and important and can play doctors and professors and things like that.
Dads.
I can do it. Oh, I can do dads. I
creepy serial killers.
Exactly. So, yeah, I can, you know, there's acting work to be had. And having broken the bankroll, I've now got about 12 months of living expenses. So I've got time to kind of patchwork together a living that works for me, that still gives me the, because I love the travel of the AP life.
Yeah, and you said your partner is a travel junkie as well, so.
She's a travel junkie as well.
Does her work allow her to travel?
Not really. In fact, not really at all. But she has a daughter who's almost college age. So we're talking about, you know, once her daughter's out of school, maybe we, you know, get a camper and go around the country. Maybe we do some international house sitting. Like we've got big travel plans.
That sounds great. Yeah. And you said she doesn't enjoy the actual mechanics of AP, but maybe she could BP for you or stuff like that. And
I would love that if she would be into it. I don't think she'd be into it. She doesn't like casinos. We've been in a few together. We took that trip to Vegas and I think they drive her nuts.
Yeah.
And I'm a little bit ADD. So, you know, I go in and there's something about like the flashing lights and the noise and the clanging of the slots. And I sort of find that calming. Like if I'm alone in a room in a chair, I go nuts. I claw the walls. But if there's all the sensory input for some reason, I'm like, oh, okay. There's a lot to take in here. I'll just take it in. This is okay.
Yeah, that's why you're doing the interview at the beach.
That's right. This is the beauty of full-time APing is I am at a beach. There's a children's playground over here. There are seagulls. I'm watching the sunset. And it's on a weekday. And I'm not in a cubicle. And it's bliss. I love it.
Well, that does sound bliss. But I don't know how single white guy sitting by a playground, how that goes off. But middle-aged white guy. Oh,
now you ruined it. Now I, all right. Walk away from the innocent laughter of small children. Fine. Moms of small children do have that killer mother bear instinct.
Yeah, for sure. And rightfully so. So back to the AP. So you resize your bankroll is what I'm hearing, right?
And then resize my bankroll. What I'm going to do is I'm going to sort of concentrate on games that are a day trip away from home.
Yeah, to save on living expenses.
Save on living travel expenses. And I'm going to have to grind at, you know, red chip, green, low green chip levels for a while with
wonging,
living with the 6 or 7% risk of ruin. And hopefully that doesn't last too long. I made that decision, you know, talked it over with my girlfriend and we both agreed right thing to do, sensible thing to do. And then I was just kind of not gonna say anything to anybody but her. And the more I thought, oh, and at 100 hours when I had that all-time high session that almost got me to 10,000, I sent Colin a picture of my chart with this very gushy email about how, you know, how great things were going and how much I appreciated everything I had learned at the boot camps and the BJA community and all that's still true, but it was right then that the free fall started. And so when I made the decision that I'm going to have to look for other work, fit AP stuff in around it, you know, I wasn't going to say anything. And then after a couple of days, I thought, no, I should really post about this.
Yeah. Somebody else may be going through a similar thing, you know?
Yeah. It's part of the community. I think, you know, there's a lot of survivor bias on a forum like BJA where the people who either do it for a while and quit or wash out or you know, hit bad variants. Those don't tend to get posted. Those people just sort of tend to drop off the forum and disappear.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, you know, when you first join, you see all those blog posts from Yoshi and Rymo and Joe748 and all these legendary, I turned $3,000 into a million.
Yeah.
Which can happen, but it doesn't always happen. And it's certainly not guaranteed to happen. And, you know, I thought for sure when I set out that I've got what I thought was 8 or so months of living expenses. I've got a 50K bankroll. I've got all the time in the world. I've got a supportive partner. And I'm really, you know, I've been to boot camps. I feel good about my game. I have fixed the problems that showed up in test outs. Like, I am really well set up for success here.
Yeah, sounds like it.
And there's nothing saying that if I had barreled through with the full bankroll for the next 3 months, that, you know, this could be a really happy conversation where, like, oh boy, I thought about quitting back in July. Or it could be a, well, now I have no living expenses and I lost another half the bankroll and now I'm screwed.
Well, you're making a correct, calculated move, I think. APing your AP career.
There you go. Yeah, my you know, girlfriend was worried I'd be despondent. I was like, no, I'm actually kind of relieved. Because like I said in the forum post, my last couple of sessions were really bad. I was playing scared. I was playing desperate. I was thinking, I need to have a big winning session now today, or, you know, I'm in the toilet. I'm screwed.
Yeah, that's gambler edge there, you know.
That's so gamblerish. And then, it was one of those games where I had lost 3 or 4 insurance bets and the count was high and I had like a 12 and a 14 and dealer pulls up an ace. And I'm like, oh my, no, don't make me fucking do this again where I shovel out a big stack of chip and you don't have it. And then I'm stuck busting these two stupid hands. It was a session where my buy-in had kind of evaporated. So I was too low on chips to insure for the full amount. So I insured for less and I lost it. And I was staying at a crappy little Motel 6-ish place near the casino.
Mm-hmm.
And I just went back to my room and like looked in the mirror and I'm like, hey, you played like shit. You know that this is a small edge game. You have heard the perfect play mantra, you know, 6 million times. What the hell was that? And at that point, I called my girlfriend. I was supposed to be gone another couple of days. And I'm like, I'm coming home early. I lost again. I've got to do a little soul searching. And then on the drive home, I was like, it's okay. And I've got a year in the bank. I've got 12K to play on. I still have games within a 2-3 hour drive of my house that I can play.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm okay. Like this will work itself out, and it may take me a lot more calendar hours to get to 500 than I had hoped. But then living a mile or so from an airport, I'm like, oh, okay. So Uber actually can be pretty lucrative at certain times of day. There are other part-time things I can do. I don't have to go back to the cubicle.
Does the airport at where you live near, do they allow pickups and drop-offs? Because I know some airports don't. And
they do.
So that's a killer.
Yeah.
Because you can be, you know, driving somebody there and then picking somebody up and driving somebody there and picking somebody up. You know.
Exactly. And it's, you get the nice bright red surge pricing and it's like, okay, time to go to work.
Right.
I feel confident that I can sort of do a patchwork quilt of part-time things that will still let me have this control over my schedule, because boy, do I love being master of my own time. That's been my absolute favorite thing about the last few months.
Right. It's much nicer working because you want to work, not because you have to work.
Exactly. Yeah. And like a lot of people say, when you work for yourself, you've got a taskmaster for a boss and a slacker for an employee.
Right.
So there was always that voice in my head of like, what are you doing sitting at home, you know, watching Falcon and Winter Soldier? Why are you not on the road or in a casino right now? So I can still have AP be part of that patchwork quilt, but it doesn't have to supply my living expenses now.
Right.
If you don't have this by October 1st, you die.
Right.
And actually, since I made that decision, I've gotten 5 or 6 hours in, and they've been winning sessions, and I've played well. Like, I'm happy with the way I played. So it's much better not to have that sort of wolf nipping at my heels.
Absolutely. Yeah, definitely. Sounds like a pretty good situation you put yourself in there, partly by happenstance and partly just by trial and error, and just because, you know, we're all kind of figuring life out anyway. So yeah. It's no different than anything. And kudos to you for ditching your soul crushing corporate gig.
I feel so good about that. Right. Yeah. And having a partner who's supportive enough to say, you know, there are things in life that are much more important than the money. And yes, you could make much better money, but don't you ever go back there again. Like, I love you. Stay with me.
Exactly.
You get me. Even though, you know, I wish this had been one of those podcasts where I tell you that, you know, about the hundreds of thousands I won, and like, that's okay. That may come in the future.
Well, when that does come in the future and you're back on this podcast, how you turned your whatever you have left now into, you know, 500K or something, it's going to be sweeter and it's going to be believable because you came in and you were humble. Hey, it didn't work out. Here's what really happened. And that's another reason I wanted to have you on, because, you know, it's really easy to tell all positive stories, but I like having the true life stories, pros and cons, guys just starting out, guys been doing it 20 years, the whole gamut in between, you know?
I appreciate that. I think it's important for everybody to see the balance picture, and like, even as well set up as I was in April, May, like, no, you can still, life can still throw you curveballs. Variance is very, very real.
Absolutely. So have you had any fun experiences out on the road, or crazy things that happened, or anything you'd like to share, or anything you've learned, or anything like that?
Okay. So I was in Las Vegas, which is the sweatiest city in the world.
Yeah.
And I was at the El Cortez, which is the sweatiest casino in the sweatiest city in the world.
Oh, yeah.
And I was on the single deck table. So I was at the sweatiest table in the sweatiest casino in the sweatiest city in the world. And I was just testing out whether a small spread could beat this game, and whether I could sort of blend in and be inconspicuous. And the dealer wasn't dealing enough rounds. Like, it was a pretty full table. And so we were only getting two rounds before they shuffled.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm there about 15 minutes. I'm like, no, this isn't going to, okay, I'm going to abandon ship and go find something else.
Were you doing like a 1-6 or something?
Yeah, something like that. Maybe I'm smaller than that. I had done the math and I had looked up single deck deviations. Like, okay, I'm just going to take a couple $100 and give this a try on a flyer. See if I can fly. Because the nice thing about having gray hair is nobody looks at me like, why are you here? Why do you have money? It's a nice invisible superpower.
That's true.
So I'm sitting there and there are these two guys. There's a guy who is pretty decent, knows basic strategy, has obviously played before, and his slightly drunker buddy who has clearly never played before. And these two guys are playing and I'm, you know, making jovial conversation. And the guy who knows basic strategy and I are talking over like, hey, should I split these? Stuff like that. And then all of a sudden, I hear my real name. And I'm like, wait, I don't have a card here. I'm in a mask. You know, I don't have any recent heat in this town. Like, how the hell do they know my name? And I hear my name again. And then I hear the name of the college I went to. I hear my sister's name. And I look, and the guy yelling my name is, I went to a very, very small Bible college in Indiana many, many decades ago. And I turn around and there's this guy I went to college with. And then it turns out that the two guys I had been chatting with the whole time, I had gone to college with them too. None of us recognized each other.
Oh, shit.
So we're having this big reunion and I'm like, okay, well, there goes any hope of like under the radar play at this place. And my friend keeps like yelling out my real name and my college. college and my sister's name, who he's friends with, and you know, my address and my social security number. And I'm like, I had to pull him aside. I actually like took him outside. I'm like, okay, I'm going to leave now. All right. Let's text each other and get together for a drink. Stop saying my name.
Yeah, right.
And actually it did. I was able to get some EV out of it. Because when we were all at the table, I asked the dealer, how come you're only shuffling, or how come you're only dealing two hands? He's like, well, that's the rule. If there's one player, I'll deal five hands. If there's two, I'll deal four, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
And so the guy who knew basic strategy and I were like, well, what if, like, we all sit here and don't play and just he plays? Would he get five hands? So he let my college buddy try it and get five full hands into a single deck. And he doesn't count. And of course, he got a monster count and didn't take advantage of it. And then I was like, ooh, let me try. And then the count never went anywhere. So I'd never got to raise the bet. But I was like, okay, well, at least I got a shot at it.
Yeah, that was a nice little opportunity there where it didn't look suspicious, really.
Exactly.
Unless and then, your database and they know your name.
Stop saying it. And then, yeah, the next night we all got together and we went to a party pit and played for fun. And I counted a little bit. I did like a 1-4 spread. And
you can't not count. I know.
I know. And, you know, things went my way. And then every time I upped my bet a little bit, all my friends were like, oh, because I had by that point told them what I was doing in Vegas and what was up. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh, we should up our bets too. So like, you know, all my college buddies made $100 and went home and said, oh, we saw bleep bleep John Smith, you know, our old college buddy. And guess what he's doing now? And so it was kind of a nice little ego boost, you know, show my old college friends from the Bible college in Indiana a good time in Sin City.
Yeah, that's great. Hopefully they spread it on Facebook, on public messages.
No. I made it very, 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 very clear.
All right.
There will be no social media about this.
And if it is, it's about John Smith.
Exactly. Now I have to go change my all my social media profile names.
No, that mean from John Smith.
No, to John Smith.
Yeah, right. I wonder, a little side note, you know how sometimes if you play not rated, sitting there, and sometimes they'll try to, hey, what's your name? I'm so-and-so, try to fish information out of you. Uh-huh. I wonder if a guy's name actually was John Smith. It sounds so fake. I wonder if he has to like make a fake name to cover up his fake sounding real name.
I know. I'm Eddie Schickelbacher.
Ricardo Filifelli. Anyway.
There was the Midwest meetup that Faithful organized. There were a whole lot of counters there, from people just starting to some really respected pros like Sassy Red. Now, it was wonderful to get to know people, to put faces to and real names, some of the internet handles, made some good friends there. Also at boot camp, it was really great to be able to network with all the pros that Colin brings together at the boot camp. I made some contacts there, and people have been so helpful and so supportive. I tried really hard to give back.
Sure.
But networking, because no matter how wonderful and supportive my partner is, you can't beat having somebody who's, you know, either at your stage or ahead of you on the AP journey. Ahead of you, you can get guidance. At your stage, you can work it out together, and you can help the people coming up behind you, because this isn't, you know, the casino is your competition. I don't think the rest of the AP community is your competition. And be polite if there's somebody else sitting at your table, and let them have it if they were there first.
Yeah, networking is key. All the things you mentioned, plus, you know, intel you can share each other is always great. Buying, selling chips is always an advantage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes even, hey, I'm through your town, and sometimes they'll even say, hey, I got a couch you can sleep on. If, you know, I trust you. I've talked to you several times or whatever. You can sleep on my couch. So growing up, was gambling a part of your life?
Oh, no. Absolutely not. I grew up in a really religious household. In fact, both of my parents were Mennonites, like traditional dress Mennonites, when they were growing up.
Hmm.
And you know, gambling was on the big list of things that were just not approved of.
Yeah.
In fact, one time, my mom told me this story. One time my parents went to Vegas, and this would have been like 70s, 80s. And mm-hmm. my dad had a work conference. So he brought mom along. Neither of them had ever been to Vegas before. So they get off the plane and dad has to use the men's room. So mom is left alone there on the concourse in Vegas. We all know what the concourse in Vegas is like.
Mm-hmm.
So there's all of these, you know, old-fashioned pull-handle slot machines. And so mom gets a quarter out of her purse and pops it in the machine and pulls the lever, and she gets three quarters back. And she's like, oh, that was fun. And so she goes to put another quarter in the machine, and she feels the cold, steely hand of my dad on hers. You're done. So I joke with my mother that she's the most successful gambler in the history of Vegas. 300% ROI, never lost.
Yeah.
I think that's funnier than she does.
Well, hopefully, I think our audience will too. So,
good.
Yeah, that's great, man. So Mennonites, huh?
Mennonites. Yeah, my parents grew up in the old school culture with the traditional dress. They were the black sheep of their respective families and ran away to the suburbs. And then mm-hmm. I went into theater, so I was the black sheep of my family. So I am the black sheep son of the black sheep son.
It's a family tradition, apparently.
It is. I now have an adult son, so I fear for where this line is going. But he's a good kid. So both my kids are really good kids. They're much, much more together than I was in my 20s.
Yeah, mine too. And I always joke that that's by complete accident, not by anything that I did.
Yeah.
Anyway, so, well, thanks for coming on, Baron.
Oh, thank you for having me. It was a real pleasure.
Awesome, man. I can't wait to hear your stories down the road. We'll check back in with you, see how your progression goes.
I will let you know. And if my cautionary tale can keep you from going full-time prematurely, then my work here is done.
Yeah, premature anything is never a good thing.
Very, very true.
That's what she said. Anyway, sorry. All right, man. I appreciate it.
All of your TNA needs, head to tensandaces.com.
Are you serious about becoming a Blackjack Advantage player? If that's your plan, then listen to the real pros first. They will tell you to test out and hone your skills before risking your starting bankroll. Check out the Advantage Player Refinement Program, offered exclusively by Archimedes21.com. The A21 APRP will tell you if you're ready. Until then, look into becoming an investor in Archimedes 21 and start earning right away.